So we know that tefillin are very holy, and also other things which have to do with tefillin are very holy, and we have to treat them in a very special way. So we'll learn not only halachot, but how to treat our tefillin.
How often should you check them? Have them professionally
checked?
We'll
see. We'll talk about it soon. First of all, we're talking about halafat retzua, exchanging the straps of the tefillin. Sometimes you have to change them. Kivan shemaratan shel tefillin shel rosh gdola mimaratan shel tefillin shel yad. Since the kedusha of tefillin shel rosh are higher than the kedusha of tefillin shel yad, אסור לקחת רצועה מתפילין של ראש ולעבר מתפילין של יד. כיוון שמעלים הקודש ומורידים, אך אם עושה להפך מותר. Therefore, it's אסור, let's say someone has tefillin which they're pasul, and you put them in gniza, but the straps are good. Tefillin של ראש, you want to take off the straps, tefillin של ראש. And he needs now two straps for tefillin של יד, he wants to put those tefillin של ראש straps on his hand. Asur. Why? Because ma'alim ba'kodesh v'lo mo'idim. We have a rule. You always ascend in holiness. You don't degrade. You don't go down. Descend in holiness. Always go up. So you're allowed to take tefillin shel yad and put them on the rosh, on the tefillin shel rosh. You cannot take tefillin shel rosh and put them on the tefillin shel yad. That's asur. Ma?
The ritzua.
Yeah, I'm talking about the straps. Same halacha. Same idea, if you have straps of tefillin shel yad, now you want to undo them, and when you want to tie them back on, you want to put the other end, the end which was far away from the actual tefillin, and with that you want to tie close to the tefillin, it's asur. Why? Because then you're taking the part which was close to the tefillin, you're putting it away from the tefillin. That's asur to do. You have to keep the part which was originally close to the tefillin, close to the tefillin. Leave it there. Just for the same reason that you always go ascending kedusha, you don't descend in kedusha. Now, מעלתם של תפילין רבנותם גדולה יותר ממעלתם של תפילין של רשי. The holiness of תפילין of רבנותם, even though halachically we do not make a bracha on them, but the advantage, the mile of wearing them, their kedusha, their holiness is higher than תפילין of רשי. Therefore, you cannot take the batin, the actual box of the תפילין, or take straps, or even at the bag that holds the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam and changing it to be into Rashi's bag, or Rashi's stripes, or Rashi's box. Okay? Because always.
The explanation I got why we don't do a on the way to is that we are not capable.
It's too holy, it's too lofty.
Abraham's not capable of being worthwhile. So when you put on the Rashi, you intend that it'll also cover that.
Right. It's the chagav. You can't receive that light, so it's through a filter. Very interesting. Okay.
That's also why tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam has to be covered. You put your talit or.
If you're wearing two at a time.
Hmm? One time or just whatever. Whenever you wear the Rabbeinu Tam, you have to have something on that.
Shimush v'kisa tefillin. Now. What about using the bag which is holding the tefillin? Kisa miyuchad tefillin. If you have the bag, that fabric which you hold your tefillin in, asur lasim bo shum davar shel chulin. It's asur. It's forbidden to put in anything which is not of holiness. Okay? But if you never yet use it for tefillin, then you can put whatever he wants in there. If it's just made for tefillin, but you never use it for tefillin, it doesn't have the kedusha yet. But once you put the tefillin in there to use, you can't put the stamp stuff in there. There are stuff which you can put in there. Okay? But not stuff of chulin. You can put in there tehillim. You can put in there money that he's going to put in staka. People have a little bag of that says I'm in staka. Or you remember the fill-in boxes? People sometimes still have them. The fill-in boxes, those white or black boxes. Fill-in. So people used to keep money in there. Now you can put in your tefillin. Why? Because it's for tzedakah. You'll have it there. Since you go to shul, without any money in your pocket, you want to put tzedakah before davening. So you'll have, so that you're allowed to put in there.
What about the clear plastic bag that's on top of the cloth?
Good. If a person makes a tefillin bag only for tefillin, and he doesn't want to put anything else in there, so there's asur to put anything else in there, not even zakai in the siddur. But if that's the way that he puts in there a siddur, and it's zakai allowed to. Now, if you have tefillin with a bag, and then you bought a new bag, and someone else, and you didn't have your name on it, it's not a nice bag. So you say they'll give it to a friend of yours. He's allowed to use whatever he wants with it. He doesn't, for him, it doesn't have kedusha of tefillin. Only for you has it. Once he puts the tefillin in there, then if you see it, kedusha. Bizayon tefillin. אסור להניח תפילין או ספרי קודש בין בכתב בין בדפוס תחת רגליו או על המיטה לצידו או תחת ראשו ממש אפילו שהם מונחים כלי בתוכי כיוון שזה דבר בזה אסור put tefillin or any holy books whether it's a real scroll or if it's not if it's, it's printed doesn't make a difference אסור to put it under your feet אסור to put it under the bed אסור to put it next to the bed What?
Next to you on the bed.
Next to you on the bed, can? Yeah. Or, of course, not under the pillow. Yeah, it's a bizayon. He says, those which put tehillim under the head of the baby, they're mistaken.
I've never heard of that.
He said, not to put,
that's true. No, I've never heard of
the
Keshem putting it.
I know people put the Ziyar HaMalach, or Rabbi Limelech Mijansk. It's a zgula for the calm or something. Yeah.
What can be done, can be done start off with, my wife's grandfather was the Rav of 18 of Marrakesh. When the children were ill, the children ran well, who would put his talit gadol under the head. And they would go to sleep and wake up in the morning well.
Wow. So you have the talit?
No, but I have part of it up net, they did the same thing.
Part of?
It's up net. It's up net.
Yeah, Avnet also is very holy. Avnet of a tzaddik, it's tikkun abrit. It's written in Rabbein writes about it.
It's known for in the whole family to be a zula.
Nachman Alev told me he really wanted Rav Alosh's belt as a zula for kedusha. So he went and he bought his father a new belt and he told his father, "Give me your old one here, take a new one." And then he has one belt of Rav Alosh. So. Tassul to have relations in the same room where there's tefillin or holy books, even printed, regular print, unless either it's covered with two covers, or it's in a closet closed, or even if it's not a closet, if there's a mechitza, a barrier of 10 tefachim high, then it's okay.
Now, what is two covers?
Two covers? Two pillowcases, separate. Two blankets. Two separate covers.
So the little plastic box that's on them and the bag are not considered covers?
It's, Landeva, I don't know. We'll see in a second. You'll see, you're talking about the covers in a second. Maybe yes, maybe I will see.
No, it's worth mentioning.
Here, now he says. What's the two covers? So he says, if the cover that covers the tefillin and the talis, they're both, they're special for the tefillin and the talis, so they're considered one cover. And then you have to put another extra cover on them. Or if you put them in the, they're in their bag, and in the closet closed, of course it's good. Some say that if it's in the closet, even if they're exposed completely, the plastic is definitely not a cover. The plastic box that you put the actual box that's filling in is not considered a cover. But the bag which it's filling in is a cover. The bag of the talis and the bag of the filling is only one cover considered.
What about the plastic?
The plastic, I don't think.
The plastic bag.
He doesn't talk about it, but I don't know.
A lot of the bags have an inner bag. Layer thing.
Right. Yeah, he said it's considered one.
It's considered
one. Another cover is if you put something over it.
So if you were to fill in a bag, the velvet, and it's in a vinyl plastic zippered bag.
I think you should cover it again.
And that's inside
closet or a drawer, it's fine.
A towel bag that has another plastic cover on it, and that's inside a bag.
When you're sleeping in your bed, you're allowed to have your tefillin by your head, not under your head. Let's say you have nowhere to keep them, so you're allowed to have them by your head, but not under your head. But chas shalom, doing tashmish, has to put them over there. It has to be in two bags, like we learn in two separate. At the time that the person's tefillin is on the head, the Gemara teaches that you're not allowed to put anything which is not used to putting on your head. It's disgrace. You're not allowed to cover your head with something which you're not used to covering your head when you have tefillin on your head.
Example?
You want to walk like an Arab lady with a box on your head.
You want to do what?
To walk like the Arab ladies, they walk with a big thing, a box on their head full of something. They walk like that. I still do that when you have tefillin on your head. You let have your hat on, you let have talis on, kippah, of course. Yeah. Something which is heavier than 5 kilos, asur to put on your head when you have tefillin on your head. So let's say you have a helmet which is very heavy, it's asur to put that when you have tefillin. Even if it's open here, if it's tefillin or whatever. Yeah, if you're walking, it's good to go to shul with your talis and tefillin on. Put them on at home and to walk to shul with it if it's possible. If not, so in the shul, if there's an outside room, it's better to put on tefillin before you walk into the actual shul. It's a good thing to do. Let's say you're walking from the shul to your house, from your house to the shul with your talis and tefillin on. Always keep them covered. The talis over your head, over, just covered. Why? First of all, because if there's open garbage cans and bad smells, and so it's a soup for the tefillin to be exposed to that. And also, there's all kinds of other things that you're not allowed to see that your tefillin also cannot see. Okay? Should I give examples? Or everything that is stuff which are not sanua, things which are not modest. So then, let's say you're living in Tel Aviv, so you have all these posters all over the place. Or live things walking around. Posters, not so much. I'll call you back soon.
Can you say, just like we have physical eyes and spiritual eyes,
it's a disgrace for the tefillin to be exposed to such
nonsense.
The same thing, a mezuzah doesn't have a cover, just a mezuzah is just like that. In your bedroom, you have to close the door when one's having relations, so that be exposed. Okay? But we have covers, but anyways, you close the door, it's niyot, yeah. So, if tefillin fell from his hand on the floor, it happens, unfortunately, sometimes.
You're out of the box.
Yes. You need to fast one day, or to give tzedakah like a meal. Okay? Like a meal, let's say 25 shekels, 30 shekels, to give tzedakah instead of a fast. This is all if it falls from above 3 tefachim, from above 24 centimeters. But if it fell from below 24 centimeters to the floor, it's not considered falling and you're out to fast. Let's say you put it on a stool and you walked over, you knocked it over, it's very low, you give it a kiss, you can do tshuva, but you don't have to fast or give tzedakah. Okay. Now, if you see someone else's tefillin fall, you don't have to fast, but it's good if you give tzedakah. It's only if the actual box falls on the floor, not the straps.
Do you try to prevent the straps from touching the ground?
Yeah, definitely. It's not covered also. It's the talus we spoke about in the back.
What about the talus?
Also, we should. Yeah, we spoke about it yesterday.
We
Rizal said he was told to him by, I think, by Eliyahu HaNavi or someone from Shemayim, that there's a big kapida in Shemayim on someone who lets his tzitziot, his talit, sweep the floor as he raises it.
And so people put them in the belt. That's a good thing also. In the galta. So.
Actually, I'm saying what?
People put the, we said about this.
No, I mean, in the Shemayim, it's.
It's a very, they're very machpi, they're very particular about this in Shemayim. They care for it very much. Not to do that. Asu, to hold the tefillin from the knot. Holding the knot and let it dangle.
And the opposite as well.
What's the opposite?
Holding the tefillin and letting the knot fly back and forth.
Yeah, following the tefillin. Okay, he says to hold it with one hand. In one hand you hold the tefillin, in the right hand, and in the other hand you hold the knot. I see a lot of people, they do, they're getting dressed. They don't know how to do that. Hold the tefillin in one hand, put it on. Mm-hmm. If you're Ashkenazi, make a bracha then. And then tighten it with two hands.
So, hold the box in your
right hand.
And hold the knot before the knot, or actually the knot?
Not the knot.
The knot. With your left hand, put it on.
Okay.
Box, right hand, knot, left hand.
And then you just put it on your head.
Yeah. Put it on your head.
Put it on your head, and then you tighten it. Make a bracha if you're Ashkenazi and tighten it. Asu to hang tefillin by the tefillin themselves. Can I take the tefillin and put them on the wall? On the hanger. You ought to hang the bag. Yeah, I have a bag with tefillin. He says, Rebbe Feush, tefillin, when they're in the bag, you ought to hang them on the wall. But the Sefer Torah, asu to hang on the wall, even if it's in the bag, it doesn't make a difference. So thank you. Just fill in. You have them in the bag. You have the head bag hanging and by ya. But the bag that it's in, it cannot have revealed tefillin in a plastic bag, see-through bag hanging. That's disgrace. If it's in the bag, you don't see the tefillin. Then you let it hang it in the bag. Okay. When you take out the tefillin, you don't shake the tefillin out like potatoes. You take the tefillin out like you're taking out gold. Okay? Think about there's a baby in the bag. You're going to shake them out? Or a cat for you. A cat you can shake out. Okay. So, if you have tefillin in, you follow your tefillin, and they're in your hands, and the bag of the tefillin is over there. It's a disgrace for this tefillin to take the same hand that you're holding the tefillin and grab the bag with it. You have to go reach with your other, with your empty hand to grab the bag and then put the tefillin in. Interesting. Asu to sleep with tefillin at all, not even momentary sleep and not even a doze off. Asu. Which is things that a person feels that it's disgraceful to fill in, so fine, think we machto with that. We learn from the tzitz. The tzitz that the Kohen Gadol had on his forehead, which said, how many times is Hashem's name on them? No, you learn the Gemara. What does it say on the tzitz?
Three? No. I'm starting brain dead right now.
There's two words on the tzitz. Kodesh Lashem. How many times is Hashem's name there? Once. And how much the Torah talks have to respect it and honor the Sotfirin. You know how many times has Hashem's name in there? Dozens and dozens of times. Every line there's Hashem's name at least once.
Same, because the feeling represents Hashem. That's why we have to respect its
pillars. It has Hashem's name in it. Hashem's name is holy. It's good to learn with tefillin on your head. Even one halacha, even at the end of the davening, to learn something. Halacha is preferable. To learn with your tefillin on. If possible, brit milah with tefillin. If there's a brit, it's good to stay with tefillin. You don't have to put them on. Only the father of the son, he should put on tefillin for the brit. The son could also put on tefillin for the brit. Could, and have to. Asur to go with tefillin on you to Bet Kfarot, to cemetery. Afilu michutz adamot shel hametim. Even if it's not in poor animals of the mess, you don't go to a cemetery tefillin. Even if you're far away. Kever v'tzadik is not a cemetery.
He's separate from the cemetery. I feel okay.
Kevin of Tzadik is not a cemetery. Albany was also in the middle of the cemetery. And we dive in there and everything. And by, but the Baal Shem Tov, for example. I don't know. It's in Mamash in the middle of the cemetery.
Right around him, there's people.
They're all big tzaddikim, people around him.
What about the Rebbe?
The Rebbe was in the middle of the cemetery. Right there. Have a few more things about tefillin. Tefillin must be square. Halacha Mishum Sinai. And completely square, meaning their width, their length are equal, exactly equal. And if they're not exactly equal, and he doesn't have another pair of tefillin, he can put them out without a bracha. He cannot make a bracha unless they are equal. They are squared, completely squared. Also have to make sure that the corners are always sharp. Sometimes they get worn. There's a way to fix it. Go to Avna, he'll fix it for you. You know Avna? Downstairs, Avna, he does it. He can fix it very nicely. You don't have to check every day your tefillin. If they expand it, just because this, the tefillin shalosh, there's cracks in it. It's not one thing. There's cracks in there. Now, so sometimes they expand because of the cracks. It becomes like that. It's still kosher. It's not considered not square. Only if it fell or something, then you can see if it's square or not square. Check it every day. Or if it was sitting in the sun, or if it got wet, or whatever, then you have to check it.
What happens if they're exposed to the sun or the heat?
It's probably the car or something.
Did they expand?
They could be puzzled. If someone was in an extreme place like that, very hot, or something like that, they have to bring it to be to checked.
Because the letters could...
Yeah, letters could be...
Could it make the letters?
Yeah, sure.
Also, for somebody that doesn't wear them for a specific period of time.
It's what?
If somebody also, if a specific period of time, the person does not wear the feeding, they have to be checked.
Okay.
I don't remember what
this is twice in 7 years. Twice in 7 years.
That's not what I mean.
Alright?
I think somebody stopped wearing his feeding.
Oh.
For, I don't know if it's a week or a month or something. They have to check them.
My brother, his bag was stolen once. His big bag, and he had tefillin in there. And after a long time, someone called in and said, I found your tefillin. Found your, some of your stuff laying around here in the lifta. So he went there, and his tefillin were there, and he, of course, he had to send them to be checked. They were 100% Baruch Hashem. But he sent them to be checked. He can't wear them without being checked. Last week, unfortunately, 3 Sifrei Torah were stolen from a shul in Beit Shemesh. 3 Sifrei Torah were stolen from a shul in Beit Shemesh. Sephardi shul, I don't know what Sephardi. They say that the cases were made out of pure silver. It was on Thursday night. The night between Thursday and Friday. And on Friday, first people came to the shul, they saw that the Aron Kodesh was broken open and there was nothing, it was empty. So they went out and put the people who stole, it was Arabs. They dropped some things on the way, so they were able to figure out the direction they ran. So they ran, they were running, looking, searching. And they found all three without the boxes, thrown in a great disgrace in the bushes. And two were 100% fine. Of course, they have to be checked, but they look okay. The third one, they need to change a few yeriot, a few... You have to change them. Put some of these and write new ones. Shemach. Uh-huh. So, we'll stop over here at Alachot.